Joining us right now, a guy who is a former major league catcher, does a great job on the Oakland A broadcast analyzing this team, who had a tremendous year this year, and they won 97 games, and that's Ray Fosse. Ray, Joe, and Evan here in New York. How
Ray,
you doing?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Gentlemen, how you doing today? It's great to hear all the banter back and forth, isn't it, to what's going to be happening tonight. It's just a lot of fun.
All right, let's talk about the team, because this is a team that nobody saw coming this year, Ray. I mean, you watched them all year. Did you envision at all going into the season that they'd be where they are today?
I don't think so. You know, a lot of people talk about September when Chapman and Olsen and Pender, all these kids were here, and they had a very good month of September. And, you know, there was some talk about it, but you know, I think sometimes you are a little bit earlier than maybe what everybody's expecting. And the A's have had a phenomenal season. And guys, you know, I'm going to talk about one guy. He's not a player, but to me, he's the best manager in baseball. And not surprising, I think the Yankees last year came calling for him and was denied the opportunity to come back here. But Bob Melvin, to me, is the best I've seen. I've been around the game a long time. And to handle the media issues that managers have to do today, the one thing that he has done, you know, as well as anybody, and that's handle the kids as well as the veterans. Nobody is different on this ball club. Matt Chapman talked about that. He said he treats us as rookies as the same as he does the veterans. But I think the key point, guys, was on June 16th, a time when Matt Chapman went on the disabled list. Jed Lowrie, the veteran, who's in his walk here, he's a free agent after this year, second baseman, he said to the manager, Bob Melvin, I will go to third base. Let me play third so that way you can use Barreto and Pender at second, and we will not disrupt the basic ball club by doing that. He said if he doesn't go to third, then somebody's going to have to play there. And I think his unselfishness at that point kind of propelled the ball club. They won two or three against the Angels. Piscotty had a huge home run against Brad Hand on Tuesday night in San Diego. 2-2 fastball with two outs in the ninth inning, trailing by a run. He hits a rocket for a home run. The A's win that game, five home runs the next day, and they just took off. And the one thing they have done probably as well as any team I've seen in a long time is that they work the pitchers. And it's not a matter of taking pitches, this old theory about taking walks. No, they swing at strikes. And I think over the course of the season, statistically, the A's had the lowest chase rate, chasing pitches out of the strike zone, anybody. Now, Severino tonight throws 100 miles an hour, and he throws a wipeout slider. Maybe that will be a different story. But, you know, it's been a phenomenal season, but it's been 1 through 25. Nobody has stood out. Chris Davis obviously has done his job as a home run hitter. But, you know, it's been a 1 through 25 roster player. And I think Melvin controlling that, running the ship basically as a skipper, is the reason they are where they are right now.
You know, you look at the numbers, and one of the guys who has been least impressive is Jonathan Lucroy. But all I hear about Lucroy is that how valuable he's been for this team, and that those offensive numbers, which are not very good, that's not an indicator of what he's been for this team. So tell us about the value of Jonathan Lucroy with this young team.
Well, first and foremost, you indicated one thing that's really dominant around baseball, and that's offense. And so everybody looks at every position now as an offensive position. You have one in Gary Sanchez, tremendous power hitter. He's a great hitter. And, you know, but I would take, to be honest, I would take Jonathan Lucroy, who hits 100 and handles the pitching staff, blocks baseballs. He's thrown out more base runners than anybody in baseball all season. He has not a particularly strong arm, but he has quick feet, quick release, gets the ball to second base. And I think that makes him good. The one thing that he has done, guys, when he came over in the early part of March, he had a chance to sign with the Rockies, you know, and it was just one of those off seasons for free agents. But I think when Jonathan Lucroy arrived, he had the ability to catch every day. One of the stipulations, he would be the everyday catcher. It was the best sign probably for the Athletics to get a veteran catcher handling a pitching staff. When you have 12 starters and you have kids and you have veterans out of the bullpen, and Jonathan Lucroy is handling every one of those pitchers, great. I mean, Shaw Manaea pitched a no-hitter against the best team in baseball, probably at the time, Boston Red Sox, with a bad arm. He didn't shake Jonathan Lucroy one time. Mm. Back-to-back starts for Manaea, 16 innings against Red Sox and the Astros, and he gave up one earned run in two starts with a bad shoulder. Didn't shake one time. So I think when Jonathan Lucroy is behind the plate, the pitchers say, Luke, you know what you're doing. See, he has a book on every player. They have scouting reports. He has his own book. And see, the one thing about catching, you have to know, and we can fast forward to the A's theory of going with the bullpen tonight. If they do that, typically in the course of a game, a catcher has to remember one time through the batting order, how did we pitch this guy? Second time, if he's looking for those pitches, how are we going to pitch him differently? It's kind of taken away with a bullpenning game. But what Jonathan Lucroy does in his preparation and handling a pitching staff based on what their power is, basically their best attribute is whatever pitch it is, not the weakness of the hitter. It's what can your pitcher do? He knows that, and he goes accordingly. And I think he has just had more – pitchers have had more confidence in him than anybody I've seen in a long time.
Ray, what is your feeling, especially as an old-school guy, what is your feeling about this bullpen, you know, this bullpen game that we're going to see tonight? And really, I mean, it's become in vogue now in baseball. How about that?
Well, I think in the case of the A's, using 12 pitchers, and there's nothing against Trevor Cahill, Edwin Jackson, Mike Fiers, Brett Anderson, but the strength of this ball club right now is the bullpen. The A's went out and got Familia from the Mets, of course, and Fernando Rodney, two closers, and Bob Melvin basically met with them and said, we have a closer, and Blake Treinen, we need you to help get us to him. So you think what Lou Trevino has done, Sean Kelly coming from the Nationals. I mean, 10 guys in the bullpen can all be used tonight, and it's not just one inning, guys. It's the fact that Blake Treinen can throw three innings tonight. He's capable of doing that. Trevino can throw two, Familia two, Rodney for two. I mean, all these guys are multi-inning game pitchers, that it's not just one and done. So looking at last night's game where Joe Maddon had to bring in two starters after his bullpen was depleted, I think in tonight's game you can see, say, Liam Hendricks starting the game. If he throws well and does not throw a lot of pitches, he could go out for the second. And, you know, your point earlier, I was listening to you before I came on, about what Severino did. As a relief pitcher, they do not have to take a lot of time to get loose. They can call the bullpen. And when in five or six throws, and remember they have seven or eight on the mound when they come in, so they can get loose quickly, whereas a starting pitcher who comes in following an opener,
right,
in the case of a starter has to take, he has a routine, and it changes his routine when he comes in like that. So from the standpoint of your original question about the A's, I think tonight, and it's an only probably one game, that you go with this bullpen, which has been outstanding, take your chances with one game, and hopefully after that they can go into Boston and go back to normal.
So you don't think, because, and no disrespect to the starters, I mean, this team won 97 games. I do respect right. that. But Edwin Jackson's Edwin Jackson. I know he's pitched a lot better. Trevor Cahill, there is no Sean Manaea, unfortunately, because of the injury. You don't think, and Mike Fiers as well, who's, in my opinion, I probably would say Mike Fiers your best pitcher, just as an outsider. But you don't think they will continue to do the bullpen thing if they get past the Yankees?
You can't do it, guys. I don't think you can.
There's a lot of off days. I mean, they
I know.
Sort of
I know. They're built-in off days. I agree. But I think, you know, and look at right now in New York, you have all those pitchers that you just named. Daniel Mingden is the only one that went to Arizona to be on the West Coast time zone. So I'm thinking, and again, just like Aaron Boone said, everybody said, you have to get through tonight, worry about Friday when Friday comes. You know, whoever wins tonight, then you can start worrying about that. But I think in a five-game series versus a one-game win or go home, it's right. totally different. So I think you would see them go back to that. And if they did go with a starter, I'd say it'd be a short leash.
Right.
You have a strong bullpen. So
sure.
I think you really have to maybe go back to normal in a 5- and 7-game series. Because of the off days, you can do that. You could get automatic rest for the relievers. I just don't see the A's doing it. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But I think – you know, they only started this September 1st when the rosters were increased. They didn't do it for 5 months.
Right.
It was just September. Whereas the Rays did it pretty much starting June.
Yeah.
So I think that's a difference in this ball club. They tried it. They found out they know they have a strong bullpen. And again, I'm sitting here in my hotel room talking to you guys. I'm not a manager, general manager, or making decisions. But I just think this is a game that the A's feel that they can best use their bullpen to try to win tonight, worry about Friday. But I think it would resume with normalcy on Friday if they do advance.
We're talking to Ray Fosse. You guys have a reliever, and it boggles my mind because we watched a lot of Blake Treinen in the National League. And no offense to him, he just wasn't any – he was a mediocre reliever. He has had one of those years that's almost historic with how good he's been. But here's my question about this, because I think we've seen a lot of controversy over the last few years. Buck Showalter felt it with Zach Britton, where they never got to their best reliever. Could you see Bob Melvin going to him early, especially if the Yankees are scoring runs and the game's in danger of slipping out of the, you know, kind of falling away? He is their best reliever. I don't even think it's even close with the kind of year he's had. So could you see him deploy Treinen earlier than, say, the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning?
Yes, I absolutely do. I think if the A's are in trouble and they need to get out, and let's not forget, too, that, let's say he comes in the fifth or sixth inning, he could pitch two or three more innings. And if you're using other relievers to get to that point, and you still have Rodney and Familia very familiar with closing, and Lou Trevino, I mean, it's not like there's one closer. And Blake Treinen, to me, is the best of the group down there, and that's why he's the closer, and he did something that nobody in history of baseball has ever done. And you guys know what I'm talking about with the ERA, the strikeouts, and the ERA, strikeouts, and saves. Nobody's ever had 30-plus sub-1 ERA and 100 strikeouts as a closer. Nobody's ever done that. Yet he did it and did that in Saturday in Anaheim. But to your point, I'd say yes. He could come in the middle of the game because he could go multiple innings if necessary. But Bob Melvin and Scott Emerson also know they have other guys in the bullpen that if they need to get out of a jam, they could use Treinen and use somebody else later if they need to close the game. You're exactly right on.
Talking to Ray Fosse, of course, who does the A's games and, of course, former outstanding catcher with the A's and the Indians as well. Ray, who is your best starting pitcher in your mind? Now, Evan mentioned Fiers. Do you buy that or no?
You know, I think you could look at the numbers, but I think you also guys have to look at fly ball versus ground ball pitchers.
Right.
You know, and Fiers and Jackson, Anderson and Cahill pretty much are ground ball pitchers. But if you're looking at the best, how do they operate in a ballpark where two huge guys, and you and Stanton and Judge, can get chip shots to right field? And I think you have to really look into that, and maybe that's one of the reasons also that if they're in Oakland, maybe they go with a traditional starter. But in New York, this is a bandbox when it comes. I mean, you know, as a player here and as a catcher, my philosophy was always, as a hitter, you tried stupidly to pull pitches and you end up hitting fly balls in left center. But, you know, as a catcher, you try to get hitters, left-hander or right-hander, to try to pull the ball and have them go to the monster right center and left center. I mean, it's such a large park when it comes to that. But down the lines, and that's why right-handed hitters, and you go back to Kendall Graveman when the A's were here in May, he pitched a great game against the Yankees. He gave up one pitch, which was not a bad pitch, but it turned out to be a 3-run home run by Aaron Judge to right field because he's that strong to go that way. But having said that, the A's have several hitters can do the same thing. So it's a matter of how you're going to pitch these guys. But I think if you're a fly ball pitcher, this is not a particularly great place to pitch. And Fiers, while he's a great pitcher and Jackson is, you know, they're fly ball pitchers. And Fiers is not even on the roster and Jackson is. And I think what the A's plan is to maybe have Links, Jackson. He may not pitch in the game if the A's bullpen can do the job and the A's win the game, but he could also be available for this weekend in Boston if the A's get that far.
What do you think is going to happen? I know it's one game, it's baseball, it's crazy. You saw last night with the Rocky and Cub game, but what's your gut now?
My gut is that it's going to be so much fun to see not one starter for the A's pitch the game tonight. I mean, it's unprecedented, and it's never happened before. And I just think there's so much talk about it, but you know, if you think as a hitter and you're thinking, okay, this is my first time I get to see the guy, you're not going to see as a hitter for the Yankees, the hitters will not see the same pitcher twice. And I think that's the intriguing part of this idea of the Athletics going with a bullpen and an opener, to not have a great hitter, great hitters on the Yankees ball club, yet they're going to face four different pitchers. Now, I think I read this morning where Vogt said, he said, you know, it's like spring training where you might see some different guys, you know. But, you know, in today's world, how about when Joe DiMaggio had a 56-game hitting streak? He saw 54 pitchers. And that was it in a 56-game hitting streak. It was a different time then than now. But I think the gut feeling tonight is that it's going to be a great game. I'm not going to say one way or the other. All I'm going to say, guys, is that the A's are here, which is special. And I think this is huge for the Athletics team to go forward. I saw it in 88 when they lost the Dodgers in 5 games. I said this club is using this as now they know what to do. And I think this is similar for the Athletics. But on the other hand, as hard as it is to win a world championship, if you get this close and you're this hot, you play and try to win. So I'm hoping that the A's can win, but I know it's going to be a great game. And there's going to be 50,000 people in that stadium tonight rooting for the New York Yankees.
No doubt. It's going to be a little crazy. It's not going to be like Cubs Brewers the other day when it was half Brewer fans. That ain't going to be the case. We appreciate you coming on, Ray. Have a good time tonight.
Thanks, Ray.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See you.
Ray Fosse, former Major League catcher, does analysis work on the Oakland A's television broadcast. We'll see. I mean, hopefully we won't find out, but if the A's win, would they start Edwin Jackson and Mike Fiers, like he said? He thinks they will start them traditionally with a very quick hook. You can get away with bullpenning because of all these off days. You know, one of the big issues with bullpenning is not the strategy of it. It's the longevity of it. It's can you do that for an extended period of time? If you have a rotation over the course of 162 games, and let's say you have three starters that give you a lot of innings, you know, maybe you can get away with it. It's not easy, though, because even guys that give you a lot of innings, how many innings do they go? Six? Look at last night's Cub Rocky game. Lester and Freeland were both great. They pitched six and six in the third, respectively.
Right.
Or six and two-thirds, whatever it was with Freeland. So it's tough to sustain it, but you have so many off days in the postseason, it is a game changer. And it's going to benefit the Yankees, too, if they can get to the next round, because then you don't have to worry about, oh, I can't pitch this guy today. You'd figure everyone's going to be available because you never play more than 3 days in a row, and the only time you play 3 days in a row is in the LCS or the World Series. That's it.